From the Arizona Daily Star and Tucson.com, this is the Wildcast.
What's up? Welcome to another episode of the Wildcast Podcast. As always, I am Justin Spears. My man Dominic Pachaco is sitting across the way.
Come on.
You can listen to this podcast on the Wildcaster app or on Apple Podcasts or simply on Tucson.com. Wherever you listen to our podcast.
All of the above, really.
All of the above. That's where you can find them at. All right, Dom. So last week we broke down the NBA draft and how we thought the draft might shake up. And I would say that we were kind of spot on with some of the picks. I think we got the first.
We were pretty close in the lottery.
Because do we pick Mo Bamba to go to the Magic? I believe I did.
We had some. It was kind of the same thing with the like we did for the NFL draft. We got some picks right, like in order, but they were traded. Like the Doncic, yes. The Doncic trade kind of threw everything off a little bit.
Oh yeah, because
so we were like one or two picks off for a lot of the lottery. It seemed like
because I picked I picked Trae Young to go to the Hawks, and then we picked Luka Doncic to go to the Mavericks, and it was.
No, I thought we had Bamba going to the Mavs because everyone had Bamba going to the Mavs.
That's right.
Yeah, we should have had the mock draft pulled up here, but
we were close. But the one thing that we did get right though, the Phoenix Suns picked DeAndre Ayton at number one overall. And when I was up in Phoenix covering that the last couple days or the last or that Thursday Friday of the NBA draft. One thing I thought that was so super interesting was the fact that the PA guy at the Suns draft party, again, there's about 9,000 fans sitting inside of the arena, and the PA guy says, "All right, who wants Luka Doncic?" Just got booed out of the building. If he was there, he would have left the building immediately. And then they said Marvin Bagley, and you had a couple of claps, but you still heard the boos.
Hometown kid.
Overpowered, but a hometown kid, I thought Phoenix guys would have been like, oh yeah, I mean, that's a good alternative. We're not going to get Ayton. You might as well get Bagley, right? Get the Phoenix kid. And then they said DeAndre Ayton, and you would have thought the Beatles were walking in.
Right.
You know? And, I mean, that's just the kind of impact that DeAndre Ayton has had. I mean, he's not necessarily a hometown kid, considering he's from the Bahamas, but he did play his high school ball in Phoenix at Hillcrest Prep. He played just down the road at U of A. He was bred to be a Phoenix Sun, and I think the Suns made the right pick. Ryan McDonough, the Suns GM, made it sound like, or he, the way he expressed in the press conference after they drafted Ayton was, we've already made our decision a long time ago. We just didn't want to come out from the gate and say that we're picking Ayton, which I thought was pretty interesting.
Right, and I mean, I guess the upside to that, though, I don't know why it would matter for the Suns if they already knew they were picking Ayton, is it kind of keeps the rest of the teams in a flurry, you know? I mean, number two, the Kings, you know, if there's a slight chance that they might think DeAndre Ayton's available, it might shift. But that's what I'm saying. If the Kings thought there was any chance that Ayton was going to be available, it wouldn't change their strategy that much because they're taking Ayton at number two. Mm. So it is kind of interesting that they didn't come out and say it earlier, but hey, they have no obligation to. One of my favorite, I don't know how much of the draft you actually saw, Justin, up in Phoenix, but one of my favorite parts was the Knicks. Knicks fans are relentless. I mean, obviously frustrated with their franchise and their success over lack thereof over the last few years, but Kevin Knox, when he was drafted at number 9 overall, they just let him have it. I mean, full on booze. It was like there was a bad call and there's a live game going on. Well, it's not even in it's not in Madison Square Garden anymore, huh? It's in Brooklyn. But still,
yeah, it's at Barclays.
I mean, there were obviously Knicks fans there. They let them hear it. I mean, I don't know who they wanted. I do know who they wanted. They wanted Bridges, didn't they?
No, I think they wanted Michael Porter Jr., actually.
Regardless of who they wanted, they weren't happy with Kevin Knox. I don't know if they were going to be happy with anyone, but they sure as hell weren't happy with Knox.
I think the best part about the Knicks drafting Kevin Knox was ESPN panned the camera over to the same kid that was crying years ago. Was it 3-4 years ago when the Knicks drafted Kristaps Porzingis?
Three?
Number three or number four overall.
Yeah.
And the kid is a little bit older now, and they showed him in the stance, and he was given two thumbs down on Kevin Knox. So they definitely did not appreciate a guy like Kevin Knox. But, hey, I think he's going to prove a lot of people wrong. I think he's going to be one of the gems of this class. But, again, he is playing for the New York Knicks. Yeah, that remains to be seen.
We were high on Michael Porter Jr. He fell all the way to 14th, last in the lottery to the Denver Nuggets. I mean, that's the steal of the draft if he pans out the way he's supposed to, the way the Nuggets are hoping to.
Mm-hmm.
Two guys we should talk about who didn't get drafted, left Arizona early, were Raleigh Alkins and Alonzo Trier. Dusan Ristić and Parker also not getting drafted, but that was somewhat expected.
Yeah.
Alkins and Trier, Alkins kind of surprised me to the sense that he was projected in the last couple weeks. His draft stock had kind of been rising. You know, there were reports that his draft stock was rising, and he had been projected at the end of the first round, early second round. So I was a little bit surprised to see him fall all the way out of the draft. Trier, I kind of had a feeling he wouldn't be drafted. He was a fringe pick in most mock drafts leading up. Didn't hear a lot of positive things come from Didn't hear a lot of overwhelmingly good news after his pre-draft workouts to make us think that he'd be drafted by a specific team. Apparently the Knicks were really high in Alonzo Trier. Obviously they went out and signed him, but I've read that he was... The Knicks were interested in him and considered drafting him. Why they didn't, I don't know. Obviously, they got him afterwards, so probably a good thing they didn't waste a draft pick. They also would have had to probably buy back into the second round or work out some kind of trade because their second round pick, they have two. I know they picked Mitchell Robinson early in the second round. I don't know if they had another pick after that. So they would have had a buy-in for Trier, but it worked out for them in the long run because Alonzo Trier is going to the Knicks. Raleigh Alkins reportedly signing a Exhibit 10 contract with the Toronto Raptors, so they both find homes. But Justin, I want to talk about kind of the undrafted aspect of it. These two were the fourth and fifth players under Sean Miller at Arizona to leave school early and go undrafted. Grant Jarrett, also one of them, but he's kind of the outlier here in that no one really knows why he left.
He actually got drafted.
He did get drafted. Okay,
in the second round.
I'm thinking of the five after him, starting with Brandon Ashley.
Brandon Ashley, yes.
Right.
Yeah, he...
Grant Jarrett went to the... I think he was drafted by the Blazers. Traded to the Thunder. So
Thunder,
he was,
exactly.
Yeah, okay, so his rights were traded to the Thunder right away. But yeah, so those five are... Help me out here, Justin. We got Brandon Ashley.
Kobe Simmons.
Yeah, Kobe.
Chance Comanche, Raleigh Alkins, Alonzo Trier.
Yes.
Those are your five right there.
Left early and went undrafted.
Mm-hmm.
Under Sean Miller alone. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I mean, I think it says... When you look at Sean Miller, and I heard this analysis last week, and Justin, you and I have talked about it, and I think it's interesting, at least worth talking about, is Sean Miller takes a lot of okay talent, like the Nick Johnsons of the world, the Kobe Simmons. I mean, you can't really even throw Kobe Simmons into that category. Throw Nick Johnson, TJ McConnell, those kind of gritty point guards. He takes a lot of that kind of talent and turns it into an NBA draft pick. Nick Johnson drafted, TJ McConnell has carved out a consistent role with the Sixers, a playoff team. And you look at some of the five stars Sean Miller has brought in, and the analysis I heard last week was that he doesn't make five-star talent that much better, which I brought up to you, and I kind of went through draft by draft and look at it, and look, Sean Miller's had five top 10 picks in the last, at least five top 10 picks in the last few years. So he's, I mean, they're getting drafted in the top 10. I just don't know how much better they're getting. I don't know how much DeAndre Ayton improved at Arizona. I mean, he had his best two games of the year in the Pac-12 tournament, but I think that's just because they fed him the ball and did what they should have been doing for the entire season.
Yeah.
So it was an interesting, I mean, it's something interesting to look at. One tweet I saw earlier this week was that, interesting note on John Boeheim from Michigan. He hasn't signed a McDonald's All-American at Michigan ever, and Mo Wagner is his seventh first-round pick since 2013. So
that's volumes right there.
Right. And you know, you look at the Wildcats drafted over the years. I mean, you have the Lauri Markkanens, the Stanley Johnsons, Aaron Gordon. So Miller has had that success. I mean, he's had those big time players who come in as five stars and still go in the first round. But I think it's worth looking at. He's had five players, that have left early and then gone undrafted.
Mm-hmm. The thing about Sean Miller, and, I think you said it right when you were talking about that analysis, that he takes okay players or players that need a little bit more polishing, and he makes them into great players. Like you said, T.J. McConnell, Nick Johnson. Even you want to look at guys like Gabe York and the process that they've been through up until they get to their junior and senior year. But in terms of McDonald's All-Americans, not really. I mean, look at DeAndre Ayton. DeAndre Ayton is a once-in-a-generational kind of player. He was consistent all year long, so you can't say that he got better because he was putting up double-doubles like the second he stepped foot on campus. The only player I look at when we talk about the McDonald's All-Americans, the five-star recruits, that got better as the year went on was Stanley Johnson. Stanley was actually benched for three games. He did not start for three games during the non-conference schedule because he was kind of getting lazy. You could kind of see that he didn't really have the competitive edge. And then Sean Miller really brought out this fire in him, and you started to see the reason why Stanley Johnson had the mystique around his name. His three-point shot started getting a lot better. He was more aggressive going to the rim, and he was just an overall leader for a team that had a guy like T.J. McConnell, Brandon Ashley, Kale Tarzewski. But outside of that, I mean, Alonzo Trier, he was a pretty good scorer. I remember when Trier was committed and signed, I said right away, that's going to be Sean Miller's best scorer of all time. Mm-hmm. I guarantee it. I don't know if I could say that now. I really don't with Trier. You know, he had a very wishy-washy career with, you know, with the whole PEDs and not being able to play a full season with injuries as well. So I think Alonzo Trier left Arizona on bad circumstances. I really think he should have came back for another year, really made his mark, get his degree, and then figure out what he wants to do after that. But, yeah, I agree with you, Dom. Sean Miller, with really good talent, has not been able to develop them as the year has gone by. And when they have these people in their ears telling them, like, dude, you're a McDonald's All-American. You played at the University of Arizona. This mock draft has you going here. This mock draft has you going here. Take the money and go. And these kids have a lot of bad advisors, and they get a nice slice of humble pie when they realize, man, I thought I was the man. Mm-hmm. And now out of all the 60 teams that were on the board, nobody wanted me.
Well, and it's tough, too. I mean, you look at guys like Brandon Ashley, who if he left, you know, a year earlier, he probably could have gotten the fringe first-round pick, and then he stayed, broke his foot, and, you know, might have stayed a year too long after that. So you kind of – it's that risk. I mean, it's always that risk for college basketball players is, you know, I could come back, and sure, I can get better and probably improve my draft stock, but I can leave right now, go make $1 million, and be just as happy.
Sure.
You know, and get drafted now and not run that risk of getting injured. So
sure.
It's something to look at. I mean, you look at Beilein, who's had, you know, no McDonald's All-American. Sean Miller, in that time frame since 2013, has had six or seven, I think, where I counted, and – sure, it's translated to top 10 draft picks, DeAndre Ayton, Lauri Markkanen, Stanley Johnson, and Aaron Gordon in that time frame that Beilein has had seven draft picks with no All-Americans. So,
but another thing is looking at Chance Comanche.
Mm-hmm.
He had no reason to leave.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely no reason. He didn't start any games whatsoever. He might have started when Dusan got hurt a couple times, but he did not start any games, and he was scoring four, maybe 5 points off the bench. He might get you six rebounds a game. But that was it. He actually got drafted, but Grant Jarrett, I thought he was going to have a almost like a Tim Duncan kind of career at Arizona,
right,
where he was very quiet but very productive over 3-4 years,
mm-hmm,
and he left after his first year. Now where is he? I don't think Grant Jarrett's playing basketball at all.
Is he overseas?
He might be overseas, but he's definitely not playing in the NBA. And it's unfortunate to see a lot of these players that have so much talent and so much potential, they just stuck around for a little bit to see where they would be at. And again, I'm not gonna fault Sean Miller for that, because that's not his fault at all. Those are those guys' decision makings that are really affecting him down the line.
Grant Jarrett did play for an NBA G League team last year, the Canton Charge. Played a full season there.
Oh, the Cavs G League team.
Yeah, looking at his started 14 games, played in 16 games. Where are your points at here? Averaged 2.4. Nope, that's foul. Where are their points on here? Points. There you go. So, okay, 16.8 points per game. in his 14 starts. So
that's not bad.
I mean, in the G League, I don't know if he's going to make that step. Well, maybe with LeBron leaving, if he's still a Cav this year, maybe he can carve out some minutes. But you brought up Chance Comanche. We've talked a little bit about. I just wanted to mention this poll that we have on Twitter right now. Follow us at the Wildcaster. Which undrafted UA player over the last two seasons would you want on your NBA team? I thought this was interesting, not because of the guy who everyone is saying they would have on his team. Obviously, Raleigh Alkins. The poll was Kobe Simmons, Chance Comanche, Raleigh Alkins, Alonzo Trier. I think Raleigh's the obvious choice, most consistent offensively out of these four, and plays the best defense. But Chance Comanche got 5% of the vote. Two tied for second at 19% of these 486 votes are Kobe Simmons and Alonzo Trier. So Kobe Simmons got as many votes as Alonzo Trier. That surprised me. You know, Alonzo Trier is one of those guys who is going to have to prove himself in the NBA. He's going to have to prove he's a consistent offensive player. He's never really been known for his defense. He's a spotty shooter. He's been one of Arizona's best over the last few years, but they don't have a whole lot to show for it. So the Knicks are bringing him in, and he's going to have to earn his way onto that team and prove that he can be consistent when on the floor, because he's got to give NBA teams a reason to play him. I mean, if he can come in, hit some shots, you know, every once in a while, that's not going to be good enough. You know, he's got to do it consistently. Where you look at Raleigh, I think he's kind of consistent enough on the offensive end to get some looks, and he's good. I mean, he taunts his defensive side of the ball, his defensive skills. So he's kind of got more going on the NBA level than Alonzo Trier, I think. But Kobe Simmons is interesting to me, too. I mean, look, Alonzo Trier has his downsides, but Kobe Simmons, I mean, we haven't heard a whole lot from him. I mean, as far as getting up into the NBA, I know he had a good year for the Memphis Hustle, but I don't know. What do you think about that?
Towards the end of the year,
right,
Simmons started getting more minutes with the Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually started, I believe, like 8 or 9 games for the Grizzlies.
Mm-hmm.
And he showed, or he flashed potential. Of course, you know, the Memphis Grizzlies, they were a lottery team, so they were tanking as much as they can. So Kobe was playing with the Dylan Brooks of the world, you know,
right,
young players that are still trying to establish their name in the NBA. But I thought Kobe would actually have more votes than Alonzo Trier.
Really?
Just because of the year that he had. He actually played in the NBA for a year and actually proved to be more of an asset than Alonzo Trier has, or he did towards the end of the year.
You think Alonzo Trier gets 8-9 starts for the Knicks this year?
It's the Knicks. You know, it's the Knicks. You know, anything goes for the Knicks. They're still paying Joakim Noah a bunch of money.
Right. And
Joakim Noah's almost gone AWOL. So
I don't know. I mean, look, the one reason I might like Trier more than Kobe Simmons, they're both shooters. I mean, they both go as far as they're going to shoot the ball, at least right now. And I think Kobe Simmons, evaluating them as shooters is hard, because I wouldn't give that big of an edge to one or the other. But Alonzo Trier, one thing he did, and I've said this a million times, going to be like rolling back the record here, but a lot of the time, Alonzo Trier is at his best when he gets to the rim. So if he can do that at the NBA level, he needs to bulk up a little bit. Right. I mean, he's playing at the NBA level now, so he's got to be able to do it still. But if he can do what he did at Arizona and get to the rim, if he can utilize that part of his game, I think he'll be way better than Kobe Simmons at the NBA level. It's just a matter of doing that.
Wouldn't it be crazy to think about how Arizona will look like next season if those five guys we were just talking about all stayed? Because Chance Comanche would be entering his senior year.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Alonzo Trier and Raleigh Alkins. It just baffles me to see that.
Yeah.
Because, this would be Arizona's starting lineup for next season. Brandon Williams, Alonzo Trier, Raleigh Alkins, Chase Jeter, the Duke transfer, and Chance Comanche. And then you'd have Alex Marcelo or whoever's playing.
You pretty much have
Justin Coleman if he would committed.
Yeah. I mean, you'd have a lot of their starting five right now or for this coming year and a lot of the rotation minutes. You'd have them coming off the bench to make room for guys like Trier and Alkins.
How much is Arizona relying on Emmanuel Akoff for next season? Akoff's going to be one of their best players next year. He has no choice. And that guy would be coming off the bench if those five players stayed.
Kobe Simmons is an interesting one because I was always big on him just from his potential. I mean, obviously he didn't hit it at Arizona, And that's the other thing that surprised me about this poll. Arizona fans are going with a guy who had a tough time earning minutes at the end of the year for an Arizona team who struggled. Mm-hmm. And, you know, started to say, yeah, I guess that's what surprised me. You know, you look at a guy like Kobe Simmons who would have been a huge part of what Arizona's doing if he stayed. I mean, even last year, I think he would have been a big part and gotten a lot of minutes. But if he was going into his junior year at Arizona with this team they have coming up now.
Oh, he would be starting at point guard. Never mind. Brandon Williams, you're coming off the bench.
Brandon Williams might not even be coming here. I mean,
it's the carousel.
For how deep they are at point guard next year, he might not even be coming here. So it's just crazy to think about where they'd be. Kobe, that's the interesting thing with Kobe Simmons, though, is he had a lot of potential and left early after a very underwhelming year at Arizona his freshman season. So, yeah, I mean, it's crazy to think about where they could be, but that's part of the part of the game of college basketball and something Sean Miller has done well with in the past, rebuilding teams, but hasn't had to quite do it like this, especially this late in the game. So we'll see how it works out. One of the guys, you mentioned Emmanuel Acott is one of the role players next year. Chase Jeter is going to be, mm-hmm. I mean, Arizona's best player, you know, one of them, if not the best player, and he's going to be the leader on the team, an upperclassman. And it's interesting. I mean, we're sitting here a year ago, we were talking about the future number one overall draft pick in the NBA, Arizona's first, as the leader of this Arizona team. And they're going to go as far as DeAndre Ayton goes. Now we're sitting here saying this Arizona Wildcats team may go as far as a guy who hasn't played basketball competitively in in 2 years. So, I mean, we've come a long way. But what have you seen from Chase Jeter, Justin? I know we haven't been able, I mean, we haven't talked to him in the last year, obviously, he hasn't been on the team, but where is Arizona going to be coming into practice this year with, again, a guy who hasn't played in over a year? He's been in their system, he practiced with them last year, obviously, but how is that dynamic going to be different?
You said practice with him last year.
Right,
so he's been up against guys like DeAndre Ayton, mm-hmm. Dusan Ristic, big-time post players.
Right, he left before Markkanen, right, okay. Yeah. So he had Ristic and Ayton all last year.
Mm-hmm. And so he battled with those guys during practice. He had a feel for him. If you're going up against DeAndre Ayton essentially every day, mm-hmm. you would think that you'd get better as the year went by. So I like Chase Jeter because he is a tall forward. He rebounds well, but he's also versatile. Mm-hmm. He can hit that baseline jumper like what Thomas Welsh was mm-hmm. really good at. Mm-hmm. He can hit that. He can hit shots from the elbow. I don't know what his three-point shot is looking like, but he has a little bit of range to him. And a versatile big like that, you're going to start to see Arizona's offense be completely different. Last year, Arizona had the Twin Towers mm-hmm. with Ayton and Ristic. You felt like it kind of got clogged because Ayton would operate in the post, but you have Dusan Ristic right there. And there would just be a lot of cluster in the paint. With Jeter probably going to be your five and Ira Lee or Ryan Luther going to mm-hmm. be your four, who's the Pitt transfer. Mm-hmm. There's so much more spacing with this Arizona team. And with Chase Jeter being the man, I think he's going to be awesome next year. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead and this is going to be a bold statement, but I think he could
Hot takes already. Huh?
Hot take for next year.
Hot take on basketball in June.
I think Chase Jeter is going to be in the running for Pac-12 Player of the Year for next year.
Wow.
It's a hot take, but, you know, with his experience at Duke and all the hype that he's had around him, there's a reason why he's had that hype. And he's got a fresh start. Miller is going to give him the keys of the car, mm-hmm. say, hey, we're going as far as you go.
And I think it'll be interesting to see what Miller can make of him. We talk about Sean Miller developing players. And by the way, we talk about Chase Jeter and what he can do offensively as far as, you know, comparing him to Thomas Welsh. I always laugh and have a little bit of apprehension when looking at Arizona and saying, oh, this guy's supposed to be a good shooter. He's going to take Arizona really far. Look, Chase Jeter is going to be a really pivotal piece for this Arizona team next year. But if he can shoot like Welsh, that's going to be huge. I mean, that'll be instrumental in Arizona's success. I just have a tough time saying, you know, this guy's going to come out and light everyone up on offense because you look at the talent Arizona's brought in who... Granted, I'm talking about guards here like Kobe Simmons and like Kadeem Allen, who were supposed to be huge scorers, these huge big-time scorers. I mean, Kadeem Allen was the JUCO Player of the Year as a scorer. He was the leading scorer in the country. and came out and, I mean, used differently at Arizona, but didn't score at all. You look at Kobe Simmons, didn't score at all. And Chase Jeter is going to have to, so he's going to kind of have to do it all for Arizona next year because, like you said, he's going to be that anchor down low starting at the five. He's going to have to get boards. He's going to have to put them back in. So he's going to have to be good inside, and he's going to have to be able to step out and hit those shots from the wing and the block, similar to like DeAndre Ayton was able to, like Thomas Walsh was able to find success with. But yeah, I mean, I think, look, if Chase Jeter can come in and live up to the hype he was recruited to with Duke, I think it'll be huge for Arizona. Getting back to what I was saying about his development with Sean Miller, he hasn't played in a year. So Sean Miller has worked with him pretty closely in practice, probably. Again, he was a redshirt last year, so I don't know how he fits into practices. You know, we talk about him working out with Ayton and Ristich. I know Ristich got a lot out of that last year. You know, he's always talked about working out with DeAndre Ayton and how that's helped him instrumentally throughout the last few years. Even guys like Lauri Markkanen who can spread the floor. That presents new challenges for Dusan Ristich. So I see Jeter, he had to have gotten better in the last year. How many reps he's taken with those guys, I don't know. But yeah, he's practiced with him. He's been in Sean Miller's system. So now that he is at the forefront, he is Arizona's guy, what can Sean Miller do with him? And on a team that's very young and very new, inexperienced, in a starting five on a major college basketball program like Arizona, I think Chase Jeter is going to have to step up, coming from Duke, and kind of be that guy that everyone leans on, because they don't have a lot of leaders this year. I mean, who's their senior leadership this year?
Man.
Chase Jeter.
Yeah.
I mean, right? You look at Akot, Brandon Randolph. Yeah, I mean, all these guys are sophomores coming back who are going to be in the rotation and battling for minutes, and Chase Jeter's a junior, so he's one of the few upperclassmen they have this year, and he's going to be one of the guys they have to lean on if they want to be successful. So, look, if Arizona's going to be in the top three, the Pac-12 and that upper echelon and competing for a championship, competing for, you know, I don't want to start talking about the NCAA tournament, but competing for in the Pac-12 at least, competing with two of the top classes in UCLA and Oregon, Chase Jeter's going to have to be that guy.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I got distracted. Apparently the Clippers traded away Austin Rivers.
Really?
To Marcin Gortat.
Okay.
So the Wizards are sending Gortat to the Clippers, and Doc Rivers traded away his son to the Wizards.
How's that feel?
That's you imagine getting traded away by your own dad?
Dad.
All right, Dom.
Dad.
Before we go, we wanted to kind of implement this new segment called Pass or Pursue, a.k.a. Pop.
Pop.
We're going to get a good
P-O-P,
game of
Pass or Pursue. I like it.
P-O-P. Pop. All right, Dom. So the first one, Pass or Pursue. Ketchup on fried rice.
Ketchup on fried rice. What are our options here? Pass or pursue?
Pass or pursue.
Pop. I gotta go pass. I mean, I don't do it a lot. I suppose it'd be good. I've seen people do it. I'd pass, though.
You pass?
I'd pass.
Oh, man. Heinz Ketchup was talking about on Twitter that, you know, you should find your weird side. What is your weird side? People put ketchup on fried rice, apparently. They even said people put ketchup on salad as like a dressing.
No. Come on. Don't start this whole ketchup like Tide Pods again. Ketchup is not, no. You can't have, ketchup has one use. It's for French fries, burgers, that kind of thing. Don't start putting it on salads and in your fry. I mean, fried rice I've seen people do. I guess it's not that weird of a thing, but don't put it on a salad. Ketchup.
Yeah.
Come on.
It's ketchup, man.
I meant for potatoes. I feel like ketchup was made for potatoes. If you're putting on anything else,
only
I'm not.
Potatoes.
Yeah, come on. Like any kind of potato. I have a potato, hash brown, french fry. That's acceptable. I'm trying to think of what else. I like burgers and hot dogs. Salads and fried rice. Come on. You got another one for me?
Mac and cheese on ketchup? Or mac and cheese?
Mac and cheese on ketchup.
Or ketchup on mac and
mac
cheese.
And cheese. Yeah. I don't do it. I don't put ketchup on a lot of things. Again, I've seen people do it. I wouldn't do it. I'd pass.
Okay.
All right. I don't know. What are your takes?
I'm not
on
a ketchup.
You put
ketchup
on a lot of things. Nope. Is that something people are doing now?
Nope.
That's like a post millennial new generation thing that we're putting ketchup on everything.
One thing I always thought was weird is my older brother Josh. He puts barbecue sauce on hot dogs.
Okay, I've done that before.
But that's like
burgers.
Doable. Yeah.
Right. That's like a Southwestern thing. Almost.
Yeah.
Like if you're, you know, throw some onions on there and you know, jalapenos. That's good.
I'm hungry.
I don't know. Well, yeah, you can throw ketchup on anything.
I'm hungry. All right, last one. We're only going to do a couple here. Mm-hmm. We got to take off. Donuts as the bun.
I thought you were going to tell me ketchup on donuts.
No.
Donuts
no,
as the bun.
As a bun for a hamburger.
Oh, wow.
Like a cheeseburger. Imagine you go to In-N-Out, and instead of that bread, it's like two glazed donuts.
Didn't Lindy's do something super similar with that? Like that. Something with cinnamon. Did they do it with cinnamon rolls?
Yeah.
I'd had that before. It was amazing. I'd have to say Pursue. I hate myself for saying Pursue after I just passed on ketchup on rice, but like, how do you pass up donuts and burgers? I mean, it depends what kind of donut. Like, if you just have a sugar donut, I mean, would it be bad? I would try it. I'd say Pursue just for trying it. Again, I've probably had it at Lindy's. I'm trying to think of what Lindy's had. I think it was like a cinnamon bun or something. I don't know, but I'd probably Pursue it just because you have to. As a fellow American, I would feel like I'm letting my country down.
As a fellow American.
By not eating donuts and burgers. I mean, what does it get more? That has to be a 4th of July thing somewhere, right? Someone somewhere on the 4th of July this coming week is eating a burger. Just engulfed by two donuts. It has to be a thing. Justin, before we go here.
Oh, my God.
Before we go, I saw this tweet earlier. I have to bring it up. I told you I'd do it earlier. So Steph Curry has a new miniseries on YouTube. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called, what is it called? 5 Minutes with Steph? Something like 5 Minutes from Home with Stephen Curry. A short miniseries on YouTube. He's essentially just bringing in guests. It's a pretty interesting concept. Go ahead and check it out on YouTube. But he said this on his show recently this week, hold on, I'm trying to pull up the quote, I just lost it. He said one of his ultimate goals is, quote, to be able to play in a band and be the drummer. So someone on Twitter posed the question, what would the name of Steph Curry's band be, Justin?
Oh, man. I'm going to go with the Rolling Bros.
The Rolling Bros, I like it. See, I think that this question depends a lot on who's in his band. I mean, if Klay Thompson is in it, then yeah, they got to be the Rolling Bros.
What's the area code for San Francisco or Oakland, where Oracle was at?
I couldn't tell you for Oakland. I know.
Because I was going to say, like, you blink right. 182, mm-hmm. but instead of 182, it's the area code for Oakland.
They have a 510 is the main Oakland one. There's a couple. I mean, 510 is
blink
510.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
The Rolling Bros is pretty good. Going through some of the ones on Twitter, there were some good ones. I got to go find the tweet again, but. I like the Rolling Bros. Is that what we're rolling with?
Steph.
Baby-faced Assassins was a popular one on Twitter. The Hampton Five.
Ooh, I like that.
Again, it depends who's in the band.
Who's your lead singer? It's not Steph. Steph's on the drums.
It's got to be KD then, right?
Either KD or Nick Young.
It'd have to be Nick Young. That kind of energy. Nah, Nick Young would play bass. He'd be kind of that goofy guy who plays bass.
I always thought KD would be on the bass.
Yeah, okay.
He's got those long arms.
Okay, that's fair. He could be.
Relaxed.
Like, Kurt Durant would be really good on the drums. His arms are almost too big. His drums, you'd have to, like, spread out the drums. Yeah, you'd have to sit further away, yeah.
Get a good solo.
A wide range. You feel like a lot more drum. We're sitting here in the studio doing drum motions. People walking by and looking at us like we're crazy. Anyway, the Rolling Bros is what we're going with. If you think of any more, hit us up on the Wildcaster.
Stephen the Currys.
Yeah, at the Wildcaster on Twitter. Stephen the Currys.
I like it.
Blink 510. That's a good idea. I like the concept. I just don't know if it rolls as well. Anyways.
I think that'll do it for this episode of the Wildcast podcast. Again, don't forget to follow us on Twitter at the Wildcaster. Like us on Facebook. Download the app, and as always, subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts. For Dom, I'm Justin. Thank you for always listening.